Welcome to AdultBibleStories.com. Our vicarious God is vicarious people. We're in the book of Jeremiah, October 1st through 21st, 2023. We're now on chapter 24. It says, after Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, so this is when Nebuchadnezzar comes in to take Israel and Jerusalem. Verse 4 says, then the word of the Lord came to me, thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, like these good figs, so regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I have sent away from this place to the land of the Chaldeans. I will set my eyes on them for good, and I'll bring them back to this land. I'll build them up and not tear them down. I'll plant them and not pluck them up. I'll give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I'll be their God, for they shall return to me with all their heart. So even in the chastisement of God, God is going with them. Even in the chastisement of God, even in his his discipline, his chastisement, he only has goodwill for us. He only has good prospects for us if we'll just turn from our wicked ways and turn to him. He goes with us. So chapter 25 talks about the 70 years of captivity. What chapter 27 is, 26, or 25 is 70 years. Jeremiah threatened with death in chapter 26. 27, Nebuchadnezzar comes in. 28, Hananiah, a false prophet. You're going to find this guy, Jeremiah has a yoke he put on him of wood, telling him that they're going to be, bound off and take for 70 years. Here comes this other prophet. He breaks off the yoke off Jeremiah's neck and says God is going to turn the captivity because people just, made a careless repentance or say, oh God, forgive us, kind of thing. And then Jeremiah goes, I kind of like your prophecy, Hananiah. That's good with me. I'm good with that. I didn't want the 70 years anyway. Maybe I'm just, too legalistic, or maybe I'm just don't know the mercy of God and just know too much of the wrath of God. And so he walks out, and God tells Jeremiah, says, hey, I didn't speak to him. I didn't speak to Hananiah. So you go back in there, put on a yoke of iron that can't be broke, and then tell Hananiah that he prophesied falsely and that he's going to die for speaking in the name of the Lord when it didn't come from the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 29, Jeremiah writes to the exiles, thus saith the Lord of hosts of God of Israel, to the exiles whom I sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, and multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you in exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. So God's got a plan for us, to do us well, to give us an expected end. So that's what it's talking about, is when they're being sent as exiles, we take it as a great, as something else. But anyway, if you go down to verse 10, it's for thus said the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon. So they're going to come out of Babylon after 70 years. Chapter 30. Restoration for Israel and Judah. Verse 17 of chapter 30, for I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast. It is Zion for whom no one cares. And so God, even in his chastisement, he always gives away escape. If you want to know the difference between condemnation and conviction, condemnation never gives a way out. Condemnation leaves you where you are, but conviction always gives you a way out, always shows you the way out. Chapter 31, verse 3, the Lord appeared to him from afar away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I've continued my faithfulness to you. So even when we were unfaithful, God is faithful. God was faithful to not kill all of them, but, deliver them over into bondage. There's a lot of people in jail and prisons today that are thankful that God didn't let them die in their sin, but gave them another opportunity to repent in captivity, and they have. Chapter 31, verse 15, thus saith the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel's weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus saith the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord. There's just sometimes you just can't weep. You just got to keep on going. If you start crying, start looking at the people falling. That's why I didn't like Psalms 91 for the longest time. 1,000 fall to your left and 10,000 fall to your right, but no evil shall come near you. I mean, you think, why wouldn't you like that? Because I know the people on my left and I know the people on my right. But the Lord is telling you sometimes you just got to keep your face going straight and keep on going. Not just so that you can make it, but so that the people following you can make it as well. There's just not time to weep with all the people that are failing nowadays. We got to keep on moving because too many other people are relying on me. Too many other people are relying on you to make that narrow path plain to them. Chapter 31, verse 31 talks about the new covenant coming. So definitely read that. Chapter 32, he buys a field. Jeremiah buys a field. And you get to verse 33. Chapter 32 says, they have turned to me their back, not their face. So here's God talking about that again. I think it's on the first video we talked about this. Where you're walking away from God, your face is still towards him. You still want his blessing while you're secretly walking away. We think you're secretly walking away. But God understands that. God can understand or see, you know, comprehend when your back is to him and when your chest is. They have turned me their back and not their face. Although I have taught them persistently, they have not listened to receive instruction. So you come into church, and a lot of people come into church on a Sunday or Easter or Christmas, and they come in, you know, and they're already headed out. They come in face forward, but their body is already positioned to leave as soon as they can. Chapter 33, verse 3, call to me and I'll answer you and tell you great hidden things that you have not known. So once again, this is conviction. God gives you a way out rather than condemnation, leaves you where you are with no hope. Chapter 33, verse 19 says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Thus say the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so the day and night will not come at their appointed time, then also my covenant with David, my servant, may be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and my covenant with the Levitical priests, my ministers. So that's an interesting whole section there. You ought to read it. That God is very strong about his covenant. Then you have 36 and 37. 36 is about Jeremiah gives a word to a king. The king throws it into the fire, so they don't want to hear it. Then Jeremiah warns Zedekiah in chapter 37. Chapter 38, verse 4 says, then the official said to the king, let this man be put to death, for he is weakened in the hands of the soldiers who are left in this city, in the hands of the people, by speaking such word to them. For this man is not seeking the welfare of the people, but their harm. So this is king talking about Jeremiah, saying he's weakening people because Jeremiah is telling people they need to surrender. They need to surrender to their adversary. They need to surrender to Babylon and go with them rather than fight, rather than war, rather than put up a sword. And so it's weakening people, you know, when he's saying that, or saying that God is not for you. And God bless America. But if somebody tells you, well, God is not going to bless America in the state that we're in, you know, you would consider that to be not only unpatriotic, but also unchristian. But sometimes that's true. And so this king wants to put Jeremiah to death. Verse 16 to 38 says, then King Zedekiah swore secretly to Jeremiah, as the Lord lives, who made our souls, I will not put you to death or deliver you into the hand of these men who seek your life. That's real interesting. Here's this king, and you know, says, hey Jeremiah, I got to look real bad. I got to look real mean. I'm the king after all. And so I'm going to pretend like I'm just really angry and I'm going to kill you. But psst, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to follow through with it. As the Lord lives. And so here's a king being two-faced. Chapter 39 is the fall of Jerusalem. Verse 11, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave command concerning Jeremiah through Nebuzaradan, the king, captain of the guard, saying, take him, look after him well, and do him no harm, but deal with him as he tells you. So Jeremiah, you know, so Nebuchadnezzar is happy with Jeremiah telling people, you know, to surrender, so there's not more bloodshed. So even if there was a lot of bloodshed back then, and you think everybody's completely ruthless, there's always, you know, innocent bloodshed. There's always soldiers that shouldn't die. So I guess, you know, of course, some hope there. But anyway, Jeremiah gets a free ride. He gets to either go live with his guard, you know, in a great palace and have everything prepared for him, or he can stay in Jerusalem and live there with the paupers, or he can go to Egypt. He can do anything he wants because he was a benefit to Nebuchadnezzar. He spoke well of him, although later on he speaks prophecies against Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 39, verses 18, for I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but you shall have your life as a prize of war, because you have put your trust in me, declares the Lord. So here's Jeremiah talking to this Obed-Melech, because this Ethiopian, Jeremiah, was thrown in this pit with no water, way down in this murk and mud, and he was going to starve, and this guy from Ethiopia, you know, got their approval and got them out of there. And so Jeremiah's telling this guy here, says God's going to make sure that you live, because if you have feared his name and helped his servant. So verse 40 and 41, 42, Jeremiah's warning people. You know, Nebuchadnezzar's already been there, take a lot of people. Now these people want to go to Egypt because they fear that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come back. And Jeremiah is warning not to do it. At the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he summoned Jonathan, son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces that were with him, and all the people, the last to the greatest, and said to them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present and plead for mercy for him, if you remain in this land, then I will build you up and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I relent of the disaster that I did to you. Do not fear the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not fear him, declares the Lord. And why would you not fear him when he's grabbed your family and friends and taken them? But God is telling them not to. I'll grant you mercy, and he'll have mercy on you, and let you remain in your land. But if you say, we will not remain in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord of God and saying, no, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall not see war and hear the sound of the trumpet, or be hungry and bread and dwell there, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord goes on to tell them that, hey, Nebuchadnezzar's coming there. And they did go to Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar did go there, and more of them died, and more of them were taken to Babylon. Chapter 43, Jeremiah is, you know, taken to Egypt. And this is where you hear Nebuchadnezzar coming in. 44, the whole thing of idolatry. We're talking about the Queen of Heaven. So there's a lot in that as well. 45, 46, chapter 46, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, that prophet concerning the nations. So he starts speaking against Egypt. Jeremiah starts speaking against Egypt. He starts in 47, he starts speaking against the Philistines. 48, he speaks against Moab. Moab being, you know, where Lot and his two daughters came out, and they had incest, you know, Moabites. And it's also from where Naomi picked up Ruth, and she became part of Jesus' family tree. Chapter 48, verses 10, curses he does not work who does the work of the Lord with slackness, and curses he who keeps back his sword from bloodshed. The first part we need to keep in the New Testament. Curses he who does the work of the Lord with slackness. We should never be slack. We need to be excellent like Daniel in everything we do for the Lord. 48, you go to Moab should be destroyed and be no longer a people because he magnified himself against the Lord. But yet, then you turn to 47, it says, yet I restore the fortunes of Moab in the latter days, declares the Lord, thus far as the judgment of Moab. So remember, that's where Lot came. That's where the seed of Abraham came. Lot wasn't, you know, a seed of Abraham. Lot was the seed of Abraham's brother. But anyway, God does deliver Moab as well, probably because of Abraham's prayers. Go to chapter 50, which is the judgment on Babylon. You know, and continues there. Read all this. 51, chapter 51, verse 11. Sharpen your arrows, take up your shields. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes because his purpose concerning Babylon. So he's talking. So Jeremiah speaking against Babylon and says, hey, the Medes, you know, are coming against you, and they're going to destroy Babylon, which we know that they did. Daniel was during that time, and Daniel spoke to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and then he ended up being a king to, you know, actually, he was king to Daniel was like the right hand man to two kings, to Nebuchadnezzar, I think his grandson, just for a night for his grandson, and then the Medes. He also gave wisdom to two kings after that as well. King Darius was one of the Medes. So we go through that, and then you get to 52, the fall of Jerusalem recounted. So it kind of follows through with what exactly happened in the very last chapter of Jeremiah. So it takes a while to read Jeremiah, giving you 3 weeks to do it between October 1st and 21st. It takes 3 hours and 51 minutes. So I hope you've read it, because there's a lot of good things in there.